Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Today is January 14th, 2017. We're reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 11, entitled The Veda Kirtan Pastimes. We'll read verses 41 through 49. And we'll read the Bengali together until we get to 49, and then we'll chant responsibly. Kshetre asi raja sarva bhauma bolaya sarva bhaume namaskari tanhare punshila. When King Prataparudra returned to Jagannath Puri, he called for Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. When Bhattacharya went to see the king offered him respects and made the following inquiries. Mora lagi Prabhupade kaile nide lana sarva bhauma kahi kainu iniki atana. The king asked, "Have you submitted my petition to the Lord?" Sarvabhauma replied, "Yes, with much endeavor, I have tried my best." Papi na kari pinha raja darshana Kshetra chadi ya bena puna yadi kai nivedana. Yet despite my great endeavor, the Lord would not agree to see a king. Indeed, he said that if he were asked again, he would quit Jagannath Puri and go elsewhere. Suniya raja ramane dukha upajila Vishada kariya kinshu kahite vagiva. Hearing this, the king became very unhappy and, greatly lamenting, began to speak as follows. Api nicha udharite tanha avatara Jagamada dhina kari la udhara. The king said, "Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has descended just to deliver all kinds of sinful, low-born persons. Consequently, he has delivered sinners like Jagai and Madai." Prataparudra chari kari be jagat nistara e pratigya kari kari achi madhukara. Alas, has Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu incarnated to deliver all kinds of sinners with the exception of a king named Maharaj Prataparudra? Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission is thus described by Narottam Das Thakur. Patita pavana hetu tava avatara. Mosama patita prabhu na paide ara. If Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu descended to reclaim sinners, then one who is the most sinful and low-born is the first candidate for the Lord's consideration. Maharaj Prataparudra considered himself a most fallen soul because he had to deal with material things constantly and enjoy material profits. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's business was the deliverance of the most fallen. How then could he reject the king? The more fallen a person is, the more he has the right to be delivered by the Lord, provided, of course, he surrenders unto the Lord. Maharaj Prataparudra was a fully surrendered soul. Therefore, the Lord could not refuse him on the grounds that he was a worldly pounds shillings man. Adarshaniyam api nicha jatin Sangvikshate hantata tapi mokmam Madhika varajam kripa yishayatiti Nirniya kim ksovata tara devaha. Alas, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made his advent, deciding that he will deliver all others with the exception of me, he bestows his merciful glance upon many lower class men, who are usually not even to be seen. Purport. This verse is found in the Sri Chaitanya Chandodaya Nataka, 828. Tantra pratinja more na karibe darshana mora pratija tanha vina chadiva jivana. Maharaj Prataprudra continued, if Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is determined not to see me, then I am determined to give up my life if I do not see him. Purport. A devotee with Maharaj Prataprudra's determination will certainly be victorious in advancing in Krishna consciousness. Sri Krishna confirms this in Bhagavad Gita 9.14. Satatam kirtanyato mam yatanas cha vidha prata namas yantas chanam bhaktya nitya yukta upasate. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. These are the symptoms of a Mahatma engaged in the Lord's service in full Krishna consciousness. Thus, Maharaj Prataprudra's determination is very exalted and is called Vridabrata. Because of this determination, he was finally able to receive Lord Chaitanya's direct mercy. So we'll chant this verse responsibly. Yadi se mahaprabhura na pai kripa dhana. Kiba raja kiba deha sabha akarana.
Kiba raja kiba deha.
Yadi se mahaprabhura na pai kripa dhana. Kiba raja kiba deha sabha akarana.
Kiba raja kiba deha sabha
akarana. Yadi se mahaprabhura na pai kripa dhana.
Yadi se mahaprabhura na pai
kripa dhana. Kiba raja kiba deha sabha akarana. Yadi se mahaprabhura na pai kripa dhana. Kiva raja kiva deha sabha akarana. Yadi, if, say that mahaprabhura of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Na, pai, I get. Kripa dhana, the treasure of mercy. Kiba raja, what is the value of my kingdom? Kiba deha, what is the value of this body? Sabha akarana, everything useless. Translation. I do not receive Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, my body and my kingdom are certainly useless. Let's read it together. If I do not receive Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, my body and my kingdom are certainly useless. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This is an excellent example of Dridha Braka, determination. If one does not receive the Supreme Personality of Godhead's mercy, one's life is defeated. In Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.5, it is said, Harabhas kavad adho jato yavana jityasata atma tatvam. Unless one inquires into spiritual life, everything is useless. Without spiritual inquiry, our labor and the object of our labor are simply a waste of time. If I do not receive Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, my body and my kingdom are certainly useless. So King Prataparudra is a very nice example of practicing devotional service with great determination. And there are many examples in Sastra, and it reminded me of a proverb by one William Edward Hickson, a British educational writer. 'Tis a lesson you should heed, if at first you don't succeed. Try, try, try again. So isn't this something that I think we learned in school very early on? That if we want something and we try hard enough, we will be able to achieve it. And this is not exactly true in the material sense, that if you want to achieve something materially, if you try hard enough, eventually you'll get it. But this is sort of the motto of material life, that happiness can be brought to a person by just gaining material things and acquiring material things, and that will bring true happiness. So what is it then that we can be so determined for that we can achieve, that we can really put all of our determination in, and we can be assured that if we try hard enough we will achieve that? Because anyone can say, well, no, one day I want to be the president. And that would be something that I suppose one person could achieve. But if we all thought like that, we would be misled. And we might go crazy. Because if we devoted our life to something that was unachievable, we would not be happy. And so that's sort of like a wish. It's fantasy. It's Maya, essentially, that we can achieve something material if we try hard enough, and that will bring us happiness. But it's important to have goals in life. And so Prataparudra's Maharaj's goal was, in this pastime, is to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally. And so Krishna consciousness is a very reasonable goal for everyone, because that is our original condition of life. That is a goal that we should be determined to achieve, and that is a goal that we can achieve, that's reasonable to achieve, if we're determined. And so in this pastime, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is rejecting King Prataparudra. Why? And in the purports, it becomes evident that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most merciful. And King Prataparudra knows this, but he can't understand why is it not him that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will see. Even dacoits like Jagai and Madai, he delivered. Why just not a king, and maybe even many kings, but just not him, just not this one king, me. And because of this, King Prataparudra became more and more determined. He rose to the occasion, to this challenge, and he didn't give up. His faith was fixed. He was certain that he would get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so in this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought out great determination in King Pratapa, even though at the time, King Pratapa was thinking, he won't deliver me, it's only me. I'm the most fallen. And yet, because of that determination, we'll see in later verses, the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bring the mercy to King Pratapa. So this is another reason why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sort of did not immediately give his mercy openly to King Pratapa, because he allowed his devotees to give that mercy to him. So I was thinking of a time where I needed to display great determination to achieve a wish or a goal, and how I had to basically not give up to achieve something I thought would bring me happiness. And while at the end, it wasn't actually achieving that brought me happiness. It was actually the path that made me happy. And I'm not the most athletic person, mainly because of potentially talent, maybe also because of stature. But I always wanted to be. I always wanted to be a sports star. Maybe a race car driver, or, a linebacker, or, a pitcher. And so when I was in high school, I went out for the football team. I played football throughout my childhood. But it becomes a different thing actually entirely when you're in high school. And I hadn't really grown much in like the 5 years before that. So I was the same size as I was when I was playing Little League football, and all these other people were much, much bigger than me. And when I look back, I think, what was I thinking? I mean, was I trying to commit suicide? But it's something that I really wanted. I really believed that I could achieve that. So I went out for the football team, and they let me for some reason. I don't even think they should have let me be on the field with those other athletes. But at the end, I wanted to be a football player so much that I settled to be a water boy. I settled to be a manager of the athletes, because I just wanted to be around them. But what I really wanted to do is I really wanted to be a star athlete. So I next went out for the lacrosse team. I'd never played lacrosse ever in my life, and I was going out for the number one lacrosse team, not only in the county but in the state. But, lacrosse players, they're as fast as football players, but they may not be as big. So I tried, and I went to the tryouts, and I was told at the end that I could be on the lacrosse team, but I was going to sit on the bench the whole time. So I thought, well, I'll get a jersey, but I may never get to play lacrosse. And I really wanted to be a star athlete. So I said, okay, let me try something different here. So I went out for the track team. And, I didn't even finish the tryouts. I was just running around this circle, and I was thinking, this is, I just can't do this. This is like not any fun at all. There's no ball involved. And I'm just running in circles. So I did the next logical thing. I went out for the swim team. So instead of running in circles, I was swimming back and forth. So the tryouts for the swim team started with dry land practice, and I was actually a decent runner. And this was varsity swimming. I was a junior, and we had like a week or two of just running on the track and doing weightlifting and things. And I don't know if you know swimmers, but they're some of the most lazy people you've ever met, and you wouldn't even think it, because their sport is so challenging, and it's so, it inflicts so much pain and doesn't seem to give that much glory that you couldn't imagine that someone was lazy to do that. But swimmers are like that. So out of sheer determination, I looked like a star athlete on that track because there were no other track runners. And I just tried out for the track team, so I knew how to run around in circles. So I was out there running around these swimmers, and the coach was like, wow, who's this? I've never seen you before. So the dry lands are up, and it's time to swim in the pool. I knew how to swim, but I was never on a swim team. So the first thing he said for us to do is he had the whole team get in the pool and just swim 200 yards, which in one of those short pools, it's 8 laps back and forth. So I get in and we're swimming, and my God, I almost drowned basically. And there were just people swimming on top of me, and I don't even think I finished the whole 200 yards. And I was so glad, I was just waiting for someone to stop and be done so I could like grab onto the wall. And there was like water in my goggles, like up to here. And one of the swimmers goes, I think I see some fish swimming around your goggles. And I was thinking, maybe this might not work out. But I really wanted to be an athlete. And so I had this coach saw something in me that maybe the other coaches hadn't seen. And he really encouraged me to keep swimming. And I swam that whole year. And at the end of the year, I swam my best times, and I made really lasting relationships, and I learned something very important about determination. And later, because of that experience swimming, I was able to swim throughout my first 2 years of college and varsity swimming. I was able to get a job as an ocean lifeguard in New York, which is quite challenging and prestigious. And had I tried to get a lifeguard job without having that determination that I had gotten on the swim team, that I would not have had that experience either. And it's done great things for my health. And it's taught me that determination that I learned trying out for the swim team has taught me to be determined in school, in my career, and in my Krishna consciousness. And it was something that was cultivated by this mentor, this coach. And later, I didn't think he noticed me at all during that first 200-yard swim. I swam for him for 2 years. And then actually when I was a lifeguard, he was also in the same lifeguard corps. He was one of the ones that suggested, like, oh, you should be a lifeguard. And he just told it basically exactly like it was. He said, man, when I saw you on that track, I just thought you were like going to be a star swimmer. And he's like, that first workout, he said, you sank right to the bottom. He said, and one of my fellow swimmers said something that he had said about me, and that I remember to this day. And he said, because I felt I was one of the slowest swimmers on the team, and I was wondering why he'd kept me there. But what he had told this other swimmer, who told me unknowingly, was that this coach considered me the backbone of the swim team because of how determined I was. Not because I was the fastest or the biggest or the quickest or the most popular, but because of my determination. So I was not successful in the sense that I had this wish to be a star athlete, but I was successful in the sense that because of my determination, I became an athlete. And that athleticism opened many doors that wouldn't have otherwise been open to me in my life. And so I think most of us have had some experience where they had to use great determination to succeed at something that they weren't 100% sure that they could succeed at, but it was possible. Because if it wasn't possible, like being the president of the United States, then it would just be a wish. But if it was possible with determination, that we would go to any length to achieve that, then that was a reasonable goal. So many things, getting a job, getting married, having children, getting a promotion, maybe buying your first home, paying off your debt, overcoming an illness. All these things are life experiences that require great determination for us to get through. And if we don't have that determination, we'll get that lesson again and again from Krishna. Because just like King Pratap Rudra, he really put him through the fire so that he could become a determined, he could show how determined he was to be Krishna conscious. So are we willing to go to any lengths? So who has gone through any lengths? Who is a good example of determination? Virabhadra. Now this is quite a long verse. I'll just read the first line. This is Srimad Bhagavatam 5:17:2. Yatraha vava vira brata atana padhi parama bhagavato. Dhruva Maharaj, the famous son of Maharaj Uttanapad, is known as the most exalted devotee of the Supreme Lord because of his firm determination in executing devotional service. Knowing that the sacred Ganges water washes the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, Dhruva Maharaj, situated on his own planet, to this very day accepts that water on his head with great devotion. Because he constantly thinks of Krishna very devoutly within the core of his heart, he is overcome with ecstatic anxiety. Tears flow from his half-open eyes and eruptions appear on his entire body. So Dhruva Maharaj was there and his father was sitting on the throne with his stepbrother. Dhruva's stepbrother, and Dhruva's stepmother was there, and Dhruva very affectionately wanted to be on his father's lap. He's 5 years old, so he climbs up onto his father's lap, and the stepmother chastises him very harshly. And King Uttanapad, he tolerated this. He did not stand up for his son. And it really hurt Dhruva Maharaj. He was just trying to show affection for his father, and here his stepmother is saying, no, you know, you should not be playing around on your father's lap like that while his stepbrother is on his father's lap. And she said that, you know, you have to worship Vishnu. You know, you're not, because you weren't born in my womb, you don't deserve this position on your father's lap on the throne. So Dhruva Maharaj went to his mother, and his mother gave him a similar answer that, you know, you need to approach Lord Vishnu. You need to pray to Vishnu that if you want to be the heir of the throne, you're going to have to go to Vishnu. And he's 5 years old. I mean, he doesn't know. This is quite a lofty thing to say to a five-year-old, I think. And so I think the suggestion was made that very saintly persons would go into the forest and perform great austerities to become Krishna conscious. And so Dhruva Maharaj began to show more of his determination. I mean, he was determined to be on his father's lap, and he was determined to have an understanding of how to approach Lord Vishnu. But then Dhruva Maharaj actually, at this very young age, did something that would be unthinkable for most. At 5 years old, he goes into the forest, and he's looking for Krishna everywhere. He's asking the animals and the beasts. He's asking the trees, where is God? Where is God? And because of his great determination, Krishna sends who? Narada Muni. So Narada Muni is there, and he's seeing this little boy looking, searching everywhere for Krishna. And just so Dhruva Maharaj can show more determination, Narada Muni tells Dhruva that no, you cannot achieve this. It's not possible for you. So Dhruva Maharaj became even more determined, and he tells he tells Dhruva to go home, and Dhruva tells Narada Muni to go home. And so Narada Muni accepts Dhruva Maharaj as his disciple because of this great determination. And Dhruva Maharaj learns to practice the Eightfold System of Ashtanga Yoga. And Narada Muni teaches Dhruva Maharaj to meditate on the form of Krishna and on Krishna's names. And Dhruva Maharaj becomes Krishna conscious. And because of his great determination, he attracts Lord Vishnu, who appears to Dhruva Maharaj. And it's at this time that Dhruva Maharaj realizes that his immaturity, that he was wanting to see Lord Vishnu for material reasons. But when he actually sees Lord Vishnu, he realizes that the perfection of his life is devotional service, that it's the path that he's followed the whole time to see Vishnu. And so Dhruva Maharaj is a wonderful example of determination. In the purport, and let's see. In the purport to text 46, Srila Prabhupada mentions Narottam Das Thakur's Sri Krishna Chaitanya. And this verse, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Doya Kora More. We should... Sorry, hold on a second. Toma Vina Ke Doyalu Jagat Samsare. My dear Lord Chaitanya, please be merciful to me, because who can be more merciful than your Lordship within these three worlds? Patita Pavana Hetu Tava Avatara. Mosama Patita Prabhu Na Taibe Ara. Your incarnation is just to reclaim the conditioned fallen souls, but I assure you that you will not find a greater fallen soul than me. Therefore, claim me first. This is the mentality of King Pataparudra, that I am the most fallen. So then why is it that when a devotee went to Srila Prabhupada and said, I am the most fallen, that Srila Prabhupada said, you are the most at nothing? If this is the mentality that we should have in devotional service, why is it that Srila Prabhupada chastised that devotee like that? Too much pride. So it's not that we should be determined to be the most of anything, but we should be determined, we should be the most determined at receiving the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that's what King Prataparudra showed, that he became the most determined soul at receiving the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He realized that he was fallen, but he was not trying to be the most fallen, he just wanted to be in the association of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And one more example. This is Srimad Bhagavatam 5.18.6. Vidan Yugante Tamasat. Very interesting. The devotee is calling me. That must be auspicious. Vedan yugante tamasa tiraskatan rasat daladyo nituranga vigraha satya devai kavaye biyachate tasmai namaste titate hitayati. At the end of the millennium, ignorance personified assumed the form of a demon, stole all the Vedas, and took them down to the planet of Vasatala. The Supreme Lord, however, in his form of Hayagriva, retrieved the Vedas and returned them to Lord Brahma when he begged for them. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord, whose determination never fails. So at the end of every kalpa, the demon Ajnana steals the Vedic knowledge. And in this pastime, Lord Hayagriva appears and preserves it. And Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport also Lord Matsya. So the Vedic knowledge is imperishable, but at times it becomes non-manifest So with great determination, Krishna preserves the Vedas because they are imperishable. So how do we become determined? And how do we properly apply determination? So, in a sense, determination is actually a characteristic of the soul. In Bhagavad Gita, in the 16th chapter, Krishna mentions the divine qualities, and of them, determination is a divine quality of the soul. So how are we to get in touch with this determination? So internally, one way to get connected with determination is through sadhana bhakti, through doing japa, and through chanting Krishna's names. Because by chanting Krishna's names, we purify those material desires that we have, and that gets us in touch with our true determination. So in that verse about Dhruva Maharaj, Vira Bratha is full determination. And full determination is determination in Krishna consciousness. It's determination to achieve the purpose of life. Because just determination means to have firm purpose. But full determination, Vira Bratha, is to have determination in the purpose of life. And so how much determination would we need to just perform something material, like becoming an athlete, versus to achieve the goal of life, requires a lot of determination. And so that determination can become uncovered more and more by internally cultivating it through japa. And then externally, we can also cultivate determination through our behavior, through acting in Krishna consciousness, and by following instructions, by following the instructions of the previous acharyas, so by following the regulative principles, and by chanting 16 rounds daily, we can uncover our determination to be Krishna conscious. And so in my example, even though I wasn't a star athlete, by associating with athletes and by doing what athletes do, I became an athlete. But if I was just going to sit on the bench and be the water boy, I would have never become an athlete. If I just stopped there, I would have not become an athlete. But I was determined. So internally, through sadhana bhakti and japa, and then externally through following the footsteps of great devotees, we can uncover our determination. And this is another reason why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu put King Prataparudra through this challenge, is so that we can see that with great determination that we can achieve Krishna consciousness. So I'll end with this point. One more shloka. It's Srimad Bhagavatam 1:26. The supreme occupation, dharma, for all humanity is that which men can attain to loving devotional service and to the transcendental Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. So inquiring to as the purpose of life, our occupational duty is service to Krishna. And by practicing determination to achieve that goal, we will find eternal happiness. Just like at the end of the shloka with Dhruva Maharaj, became ecstatic just by being determined to achieve Krishna consciousness. So, associating with devotees who are all determined to achieve Krishna consciousness, what will that look like? What would a community look like where all the members of the community had a common goal to be Krishna conscious, to achieve the same goal, a goal that was achievable and a goal that was the Vira Bratha, determination in full? How would that change our consciousness if we walked into a community like that? And how can we, in a way, contribute to a community where Krishna consciousness is the goal? What can we add to a community like that? I think if someone is determined, has determination to be Krishna conscious, and they were in a community where Krishna consciousness was a common goal, one would not hesitate at investing in each relationship in that community, and also would invest in relationships with people who were perhaps new to the community, and would also invest in relationships of the youth of that community. Because it would be easy just to focus on those things which we have most control over, potentially our own Krishna consciousness, our own bhajan, our own sadhana. But Krishna consciousness is achieved in a community of devotees, in the association of devotees, in sarusanga. So a community that was trying to be Krishna conscious would see value in relationships with each other, with their spiritual master, with Srila Prabhupada, with new persons coming to the community, and with the youth. Because the youth are the future of the Sankirtan movement. And so by investing in these relationships with great determination, we can transform our community into a Krishna conscious community. And our community is a wonderful Krishna conscious community. But just like in this pastime, determination is showed through action and is showed through overcoming challenges. And so we can see that challenge, just because we have challenges, either personally or as a community, doesn't mean that those challenges aren't there for a reason, that we can rise to the occasion and overcome those challenges, and make advancement in spiritual life in that way. So I'll stop there. Thank you for listening. Does anyone have any question or comments?
Because the things that you have to tell yourself to be humble all the time, because Maya is always telling you, oh, look, I'm a great devotee, and I do this, and I do that. So how does it become natural?
That's a very good question. How does humility become natural? Why is it that we need to remind ourselves to be humble? The best way that I've understood humility is through examples of devotees, and also the realization that humility is an understanding that we are not worse than we think we are, and we're not better than we think we are, we're just who we are. So just like in these examples, you know, I'm the most fallen. Well, no, that's pride. We're not the most fallen. I mean, there's infinite number of souls. Chances are, I mean, just using math, the chances are that we're not the most fallen out of infinity. And then the chances also are out of infinity that we're not the best. But why is it that our minds are always direct us to that? And that's because the mind accepts and rejects anything that's favorable to its sense gratification, it will accept, and anything that's unfavorable to its sense gratification, it will reject. So where are we in that? Where am I in that? If I'm not the worst and I'm not the best, then I'm somewhere in the middle. And I think having that understanding is the basis of humility. And I think the only way that a person can have that understanding is if they have the association of humble-minded people. Because it's through relationships that we realize we're not the best and we're not the worst. It's through relationships that we get an understanding of who we are. And it requires a lot of different types of relationships. And for sure it requires a relationship with Krishna. So I think we have to remind ourselves, to be humble, because of our minds. And I think through meditation, through japa, and through practicing devotional service, I think in time, the mind becomes the quieter voice, and the more prominent voice becomes, you know, Paramatma, and the words of Srila Prabhupada become the more prominent voice. But until we're Krishna conscious, we will have to deal with this mind, and engaging it in devotional service is the best way to deal with it. So, like you said, I think it would be artificial to just try to convince ourselves that we're the most humble. But if we just practice Krishna consciousness, at those times where we're like, you know, being very mental, if we just practice Krishna consciousness in one of the ways that Srila Prabhupada has given us, then that voice will become more and more quiet.
One time on Sankirtan, I gave a social worker a book, and he said, you know, I've met you, Hare Krishna, so many times, and you always have the solutions to everything. So he said, what is your solution to the present day problems? And I spontaneously said, if everybody was Hare, you know, as a devotee, we wouldn't have all these problems. And he stopped him right in his track, and he said, I never thought of that. And I said, yeah, we wouldn't have all this, you know, you're dealing with social work, you know, social problems every day. I said, we wouldn't have all these drinking problems, we wouldn't have all these, you know, stealing. And he said, so our goal is to make everybody a Hare Krishna devotee? And I said, yes, actually, basically, that's what we're telling everybody, but our main goal is to awaken your God consciousness, whether you're Christian or Hindu or Muslim. And he said, that's the best answer I've ever heard from any Hare Krishnas. And he said, now I understand why you guys are doing this, because you have to change the heart. And it always stuck with me that, you know, somebody was listening. But he said, yeah, every time I met one of the Hare Krishnas, they always said, we have the solutions for everything. So when he asked me, I guess it was Krishna, if I said that, and he heard.
Thank you for sharing. Any other questions? Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Gaura Premanandi.